And this really big and vast world that we have, the universe, Earth is just a tiny, small dust, even smaller than that. I'm really. But at the same time, on Earth, which is really, really small, some people will kill. Some people would destroy lives to get only a small part of this tiny, tiny Earth. And even if they take over the Earth completely, they still don't own anything. It's like they don't own anything. So what I think is, when we want to do something, whatever it is, we should, for just a moment, think about what effects will it have, and is it worth it? Can I break a heart? Does it worth it? I mean, in this whole big universe, is it that important?
And of course, I believe this is the core message of what you told Rafael Grossi, the IAEA chief, the crippling sanctions and how they've hurt particularly sick children in Iran. That's basically what you wanted to say, wasn't it?
Yes. I think I should have said things that I said right now, but I didn't have them in mind. Our decisions might affect one person and maybe thousands of people. And we should be really careful of what we do, especially when we're in high authorities. We should be really, really careful of what we do.
How strongly do you feel about this?
Really strong. Sometimes when I think about it, it makes me cry because one of our relatives has recently been diagnosed with cancer and his medicines couldn't be found and he's really having a really hard time and he's in a lot of pain. And when I see him suffering, it really makes me want to cry because he was really close to me and his daughter is my friend. And when I see their pain, it's like it's my pain. I'm really frustrated about it, that I can't do anything, but I want to take even the smallest step in this way.
So you want to leave a mark in this world?
Yes, if it's if it has an effect, why not even the tiniest effect? It's really important, I think, that if every one of us take a step, then it might be even millions of miles if every one of us do something.
Well, you know that your story inspires a lot of people. And that is probably why it was even the topic of a movie called Henos. Have you seen that movie?
Several times. Maybe 10 times, even.
So tell us about this movie. How close is it in portraying the reality?
As my mother says, movies are movies. They mixed reality with some things that are not real, so it could be attractive. But all in all, I was a little child back then, but as my mother says, everything in that movie contains a part of reality that has happened in our life. So I guess it explains the way things were really good in a good way, and it does have effect on the people who are watching it in a good way.
So you do recommend that?
Yes, sure, of course.
Well, it was very nice talking to you. Thank you
Thank
very
you.
much for joining us on this show.
It was an honor, and I'm really happy to be here.
Well, that's it, all the time that we have for this special edition.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the verses of chapter Nur, the 24th chapter of the Holy Quran, and different commentary points of these verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 21st verse of chapter Nur.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء والله سميع عليم
O you who have believed, do not follow the footsteps of Satan. And whoever follows the footsteps of Satan, indeed, he enjoins immorality and wrongdoing. And if not for the favor of Allah upon you and His mercy, not one of you would have been pure ever. But Allah purifies whom He wills, and Allah is hearing and knowing.
Dear listeners, we said that applying the word خطوات الشيطان in this very verse, which is the plural form of the word خطوة, meaning step, is used to warn us, the believers, about the importance of rumor-mongering in the society. The people have to be really careful about these matters, because when it is the matter of calumny, when it is the matter of lust, Satan encourages man step by step, because a faithful man can never be involved in corruption out of the blue once all of a sudden. But it is done step by step. In the first step, hobnobbing and getting familiar with the wicked person is allowed. It is justified by the Satan. And in the second step, that person will attend their parties. And thirdly, he will think of committing those sins. In the fourth step, committing questionable examples and errors are seen from that man. And then, in the fifth step, committing lesser sins is seen from him. And finally, he will do the worst sins, and he is just like a person on whom an offender's yoke is laid, and the offenders lead him to a precipice step by step, so that he falls down and he will be ruined. Yes, these are the خطوات الشيطان, the footsteps of the Satan.
بالزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Dear listeners, after mentioning and warning the believers about the khutuwat al-shaytan, the steps of the Satan, the verse refers to one of the most important divine favors and blessings which are bestowed on the man in the path of guidance. It says, ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا. Had it not been Allah's grace and His mercy on you, not one of you would have been ever pure. ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء. But Allah purifies whom He pleases. والله سميع عليم. And Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. Brothers and sisters, undoubtedly, divine grace and bless rescue man from defilements, from deviations, from different sins. And because He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has conferred on one hand the gift of intellect, and on the other hand, the grace of existence of the prophets and the infallible imams and ordinances that have been sent down by revelation. Moreover, His special help and supernatural aids that cover deserving, receptive and apt man are the most important factors of purification and cleanness. The Quranic holy phrase "من يشاء" that the verse says "لكن الله يزكي من يشاء," as we have said repeatedly, does not mean unreasonable will. Does not mean unreasonable and kind of desire without any logic. But Allah does not guide anyone whom He does not have any kind of reason for. Allah does not do any guidance and does not confer any grace unless attempt and exertion is carried out by that servant. The one who has decided to go this path, the one who has tried this path, Allah will hold his hand. Allah will save him from devil's temptations, and Allah will lead him to the destination. In other words, divine grace and bless has sometimes religious aspect that has come forth through mission of prophets, revelation of heavenly books, legalization of ordinances, and glad tidings and warnings. And it is sometimes genetic or inherent that comes forth through divine spiritual helps. The verse in question, out of indication of the sentence "Man yasha," mostly concern the second part. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry, in your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیک یا سار الله.
Sorrowful is the sun as arrows reach the sky. Creation is in shock as you prepare to die. Everything you gave without complaint. You died a tragic death, but you did not die in vain. Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein, Hussein.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Brothers and sisters, the story of Hur is a story which gives us so much hope. We're told in hadith that there's numerous hadith about this, but you know, one of the hadith which conveys the concept is that on the Day of Judgment, there will be somebody who is commanded to go to the fire of hell. But before he's entering the fire of hell, he pauses. And the hadith says that Allah Ta'ala will speak to the angels and say that, why has my servant paused? And that person will say that, I was somebody who had good opinion in Allah. I had hope in him. And when Allah sees that this is somebody who has hope, Allah will say that, O angels, take my servant and direct him towards the heaven. The power of hope in Allah's mercy is very strong. And when we hear the story of Hur, it's one that's meant to inspire us to seek that tawbah from Allah so we can do tawbah. This is the Quran describes tawbah and repentance as a multi-step process. We need to be inspired so that we can do what we have to do in terms of turning to Allah. The story of Hur is not just the story of somebody realizing that he had gone down the wrong path and now he's coming back to the right path. It's the story of somebody who was given that inspiration from God. And this is a sign of God's mercy. On the plane of Karbala, there was a lot of evil, there was a lot of injustice, but there was a lot of mercy as well. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fina'ik. Peace and blessings be upon you, O noble and tranquil soul, O the one who was killed by the banks of the Euphrates River, while his mouth was thirsty. Peace be upon you, O son of Fatima, O son of Ali, O leader of martyrs, O ship of salvation. Peace be upon you and upon your noble companions who sacrificed everything they had. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum fanafuza ma'akum fawzan 'azima. If only we could be with you and achieve the victory you achieved. Harb ibn Yazid al-Riyahi was the commander sent by Umar ibn Sa'ad to lead 1,000 men to halt the progress of the caravan of Imam Hussein. When they meet Imam Hussein's small army, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asks him, O Hur, tell me, are you with us or are you against us? Hur tells him, Bala alaykum, we are against you. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Hur is watching Imam Hussein alayhi salam as he gets ready for the prayers. Hur thinks to himself that this is the son of Fatima, the grandson of the Messenger of Allah. We are Muslims after all, let us pray behind him. As they journey away from that point, they make their way towards Karbala. Hur is watching Imam Hussein. He's hearing his words. He must have heard Imam Hussein alayhi salam say at one point, Inni la aral mauta illa sa'ada. I do not see death except for prosperity. Wal hayata ma'al zalimina illa barama. I do not see living with these unjust tyrants as being an act of wariness. He is hearing the wisdom from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He is thinking to himself, what am I doing here? How can I possibly be being part of this aggression against the grandson of the Prophet? The day of Ashura comes. Hur is thinking to himself, what is going to happen? He goes to his commander, Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar, tell me, are you actually going to launch the attack on Imam Hussein? Umar tells him that yes, this is going to happen. Hur thinks to himself, what should I do now? One of his friends is watching him. He tells him, Oh Hur, I see that you're trembling at this moment. Don't tell me you're scared. Because if I were to say who's the bravest of all the Kufans, I would have given your name. Hur, what's happening to you? Hur tells him that at this point I see myself as making a decision. The decision is between heaven on one hand and the fire of hell on the other hand. By Allah, I will never choose the path of the hellfire and the punishment therein over the path to paradise. With that, Hur spurs his horse forward. He makes his way towards the army of Imam Hussein. Maybe they're thinking to themselves that who is this man who's coming to us? We recognize him.
He's the reason why we couldn't go to Kufa. He's the reason why we're here in this desert sand with no access to water. Why is he coming to us right now? Does he want to launch an attack? Hur knows this, so we're told in history that he raises his hands above his head as he comes to Imam Hussein on his horse like a prisoner. Ashamed of what he has done, he cries out, I am the one who brought fear to the children of the Messenger of Allah. O Hussein, tell me, is there any way that Allah will accept my repentance? Imam Hussein alayhi salam looks at Hur. He tells him, O Hur, لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. Allah has already forgiven you. At that point, Hur tells Imam Hussein, can you give me permission? I don't wish to get off my horse. I just want to fight right now. I want to be the first who gives his life from this point onwards. Imam Hussein alayhi salam agrees. Why does Hur not want to spend time with his Imam? Perhaps he is ashamed to face the children, to see the look on their faces when they look at him and they recognize that he is the one who has brought them here. Hur faces his own army. He attacks them. Eventually, he falls to the ground. Imam Hussein alayhi salam goes to his side. Amazingly, we're told that Imam Hussein alayhi salam spends special care and time with Hur. He takes his blessed hand. He wipes the sand and the blood from the face of Hur. He tells him, O Hur, you were named Hur, the free one, by your mother. O Hur, indeed you are the Hur. You are the free one in this world. O Hur, you are the free one in the hereafter.
Oh, Hussein, you live forever. To Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به حق تعالی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, if you remember, we have made you familiar in a couple of episodes with views of British thinker Hamid Algar on Imam Khomeini. Algar was a teacher of Islamic studies in Berkeley University of California. Today, you will be listening to the views of Nikki R. Keddy. She is an American specializing in the history of West Asia and Iran. Stay tuned, please. E. Keddy was born in Brooklyn, New York, and graduated at Harvard, Stanford, and Berkeley universities. In 1961, she started teaching the history of West Asia region and Iran at Los Angeles University. She has tried in her books to analyze the relationship of religion, politics, and revolution in Islamic countries, especially Iran. Her book, The Roots of Iran's Revolution, is the outcome of two decades of research on the history of politics of Iran. Keddy believes that there is no match for Iran's Islamic revolution among the Islamic, Hindu, and Christian countries in terms of number and depth of revolutionary movements. In her opinion, Iran is the only Muslim country which has experienced great movements during the recent 150 years. The American University lecturer says the Islamic Revolution was the strong reaction of Iran's cultural identity against the dominance of imperialism on every aspect of the country. She maintains that this reaction has been manifested in different ways in different periods. For instance, Iran was the only country which preserved its culture and language after the arrival of Islam. Moreover, during the Safavid era, the Iranian independent identity and national solidarity was safeguarded in the face of the Ottoman Empire. Keddy is of the opinion that during Iran's inevitable confrontation with the Western civilization, this identity was threatened and the Western imperialism seriously assaulted this deeply rooted identity. Nikki R. Keddy maintains that since 1945, the United States staged a coup d'etat against the legal government of Mohammad Mossadegh as a new intervening power besides Britain and Russia. However, soon the U.S. almost turned into the main player of the political scene of Iran and gradually became the only decision maker in every affair of the country. Explicating the culture of the Islamic Revolution, Keddy considers this revolution as a symbol of duality and confrontation of good and evil. She writes, "It is highly believed that dividing everything into good and evil will not always lead to a revolution, but it will create a mentality which will facilitate moving towards revolutionary measures." In her view, the revival of Islam in Iran has been a kind of confrontation of good and evil in the Iranian culture, and this has been clearly manifested in considering the U.S. as the great Satan. For your information, dear listeners, it was Imam Khomeini who first applied this term for the regime of the United States of America. Nikki Keddy believes that the Pahlavi regime's dependence on foreign powers, particularly the U.S., and the deteriorated economic conditions were among the top causes of the revolution. She opines that Imam Khomeini played the most important role in the formation and victory of the revolution. The American researcher says that the ulema have always been effective in many uprisings and movements in the contemporary Iran. American University lecturer Nikki R. Keddy believes that the role of ulema, especially the sources of emulation, became stronger and more effective during the 20th century, particularly after the emergence of Imam Khomeini as the most charismatic personality of centuries among Muslims of Iran and even beyond. Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon his soul, did not try to present shallow and baseless narrations of Islam, quite unlike most vestoxicated intellectuals who lived in ivory towers and had little contact with the masses and very rarely felt people's concerns and problems. Imam Khomeini's narration of Islam was based on the pristine teachings and sources of Islam adopted from the Prophet and his infallible progeny, blessings of God upon them. People could see that he practiced whatsoever he preached. According to Keddy, Imam Khomeini's relationship with people was that of an imam and ummah. In other words, Imam Khomeini moved in the steps of the infallible imams, who are kinder and more affectionate to the people than their parents. The American researcher also says, Imam Khomeini, due to his uncompromising confrontation with the Shah and his anti-imperialism speeches, his understandable language and simple way of living was very popular. Well, dear listeners, that marks the end of this episode. Next time, we will dwell upon the views of another thinker on Imam Khomeini.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, and I'm Atta, the host of this program. We have two guest speakers in today's discussion, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, welcome to your show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, brother. And Brother Ali Alavian, assalamu alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thank you for having me here.
So regarding the main features of the hegemonic powers in today's world and the challenges that they are facing, for today's discussion we want to get a very important topic which was also tackled by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, and that is the challenges that the hegemonic powers have regarding the Islamic values in today's world. The thing is that when you look at some of the Muslim lands, you find them as a caricature. You know, for example, in terms of their food, they still use the same food as their forefathers did. But in terms of observing their hijab, they're very much similar to the Western world. In terms of their makeup too. So, and the sad news is that sometimes the value system which is in the West, and it was abrogated, it was forbidden, so many laws and constitutions were written against them, are applied in the Muslim lands.
That's true.
For example, if a foreigner or a people in the US in a bar has going to one mini glass of wine, no, you can find it in the bars of some of the, unfortunately, Muslim lands. You know, a bottle of wine is going, bottle by bottle. Or, for example, if under 18 cannot watch this and that movie and the rating is over there, now it's this rating is going to be. I do want to say the value system has inserted into the culture. This is the sad news. And another sad news is that sometimes we forget completely that we can replace this value system with the good things that we have. But we take them for granted.
You know,
taking all of them for granted.
Yeah. You know, the main issue is we forgot something.
Yeah.
Which is very important. That in this world, there is an evil and there is a good.
Mm-hmm.
God has set a path for us.
Yes.
And that which deviates us from that part is evil.
That's right.
It's not the discussion of West and the Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a discussion between like West and East, Muslim and non-Muslim. It's not about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, are you being the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mm-hmm, or the God or not?
That's right.
If you're following the evil, evil never wants you to have dignity, to have independence. It wants to make you the slave, either in the sense of, you know, either in the sense of, you know, we can say, being under the slavery of capital system.
That's right.
Capitalism.
That's right.
Or the secular system.
Okay.
So all these things are being, you know, brought by evil. And evil is doing its job the best way it can.
Recently, I saw some comments and some posts on the Instagram regarding LGBT, you know, lesbian homosexualism. I said, wow, come on. You know, this movement is banned in some of the Western countries.
Yes. You know, every single religion has banned it. Every single.
Yeah.
Christianity, Judaism, I don't know, Hinduism, everyone.
Okay.
Within the religious script, it is banned.
Yes.
But obviously, you know, the evil is doing its job.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We forgot that the evil is our enemy, but evil never forgets.
That's all right.
Okay. So, it's true that you said that there is no conflict between West and East, or let's say Islam and non-Islam.
No. Sayyid said that when you want to look at this value system, look at it as an evil good thing, yeah, not the Western Islam.
I do agree with that.
Okay.
I just wanted to actually explain for those who are listening to us. But since the representatives of each has been seen, for example, in the West and the other side in the East, so it comes to the mind that, okay, this is a conflict between East and West. But the root is there.
Mm-hmm.
The root is really what you said. But since those who are actually defending any of these two opposing ideas,
yes,
are in this part and the other part, yes, of the world, so it says that, for example, that whatever. No, we do not mean that whoever is in the West,
that's
is bad,
right,
or whoever is in the East,
you
is
know,
good.
I purposely do that. I said, like, we forgot about this. Why? Because in the East, even we have evils.
Very true.
You know, the Muslim countries, the leaders, they're silent on the issue of the Palestine, for example.
Yes.
They're silent on the issue of Afghanistan.
For the money.
For the reasons they have.
True.
Yes.
In the West, there are many people who raise their voice,
mm-hmm,
against the, you know, the oppression that has been done by Zionist regime,
that's
or Israel,
right,
on the Gaza,
very
Strip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have seen, for example, in London, 150,000 people came to the streets.
Very,
yes,
true.
In the solidarity of the Quds or the Palestinian people.
But what about the Muslim lands? Yeah.
So we need,
yeah,
to,
really,
we need,
it's
to, we need to remind
to
ourselves.
Have you,
yes,
ever seen such a thing, for example, in a country like Saudi Arabia? Or,
no,
for example, in a country like
UAE, or Qatar. Yeah.
But
or
unfortunately,
Bahrain.
They are going for normalization of their,
that's it,
relationship.
That's it, brother. We need to remember,
yeah,
that this evil and the good, we have forgot this.
They normalize.
And you know, when we say West and Muslims, within Muslim lands, they think like, okay, we are Muslim, we are the right people, so nothing is wrong with us.
Uh-huh.
That's why they're not raising their voice.
Mm-hmm.
You need to differentiate. We need to remind ourselves that there was, from the first day when Adam alayhi salam was created, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered like the angels to do sajda to Adam, there was a discussion of an enemy of the Adam, and that was shaitan, the evil. And it was the promise of shaitan that I will, for example, like hijack all these, you know, the values of the descendants of Adam alayhi salam.
Yes.
We need to remember this because, you know, when we go back to the origin of everything,
mm-hmm,
the things are very easy to explain.
Yes.
But when we do not refer to the origin, mm-hmm, then obviously we can find many examples. You know, these are the examples. We say masadiq.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We generally talk about the individuals,
yes,
examples, not the origin.
That's
so
true.
We need to refer to the origin, inshallah.
That's all right. But yeah, steadfastness of the Muslims are really important. You know, this mughavama and this resistance, you know, is very important. But unfortunately, we could see that. You know, again, when we get back down to this Saudi Arabia, you know, Ben Salman thing, the case is that the discourse has changed.
Mm.
You know, when Trump was in the power, so all of a sudden, when Trump goes and another government in the U.S. comes, their discourse also changes,
mm-hmm,
towards Iran, maybe towards the other lands, And this shows that how much puppets they are to the politics and the policies of the U.S. and the superpowers.
Well, maybe it's because like Trump has milked all milk.
No, they have much milk, brother. There is still to milk them.
It's nothing
much milk. And milk, the black milk is oil. Yeah.
As I think the outcome of all this discussion is, and said referred to also, and I at the beginning of my discussion said, so the root all goes towards the good understanding of Islam, what we call it pure Muhammadan Islam. And they are all the subcategories of this discussion.
Yes.
So if they are the arrogant powers, or let's say hegemonic powers, they are against it, they don't want us to go back to this understanding of Islam.
That's all right.
The outcome of which is unity, anti-arrogance, and let's say anti-Israel, and let's say intellectualism and rationalism in Islam world.
I don't know. In Afghanistan, for example, they are progressing the peace talks. You know, the peace talks are over there. The representatives are over there. The superpowers are over there. At the same time, we could see bomb explosion over there. This barbarism over there, you know. And
do you know what is the reason of this new bombing in Afghanistan and Iraq?
No.
This is the new strategy, brother. Look, when the other one left the White House, the next one wants to warn the countries that they said that we don't want U.S. to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. They want to say these are the outcomes.
Yeah.
These are the reason that we need to be there. Mm-hmm. And then there is another thing, brother. This is for me, you, and other, all those who are listening to us. Whenever Israel, look, there is a key equation in the region. Whenever Israel is in danger, other nations should be in danger as well. Whenever there is a, let's say, conflict between Muqawma, resistance line, and Israel, other countries should be in instability. So these are the two reasons of these new and recent bombardings in Afghanistan or Iraq. And we have to be waiting for.
Yes, we can just add in, like, whenever the Israelis is in danger, obviously, why they do bombings in other countries is so that the people in those countries, the Muslim lands, basically, it's not happening in non-Muslim lands.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening in the Muslim lands. Why it happens? So that these Muslim people do not raise their voice.
Very
so they cannot
not come
reach
to
help.
The awareness level.
Yes, and they stop them by bombing the Muslim lands so that the people from these lands do not come to help the Gaza Strips or the Palestinians. Right. So there are many reasons, obviously, and these are clear. Those who have a little bit of intellect, inshallah, everyone possess the intellect, they can understand.
Yeah.
All these things. If I can just give you an example of how, the West creates, wrong kind of,
attitudes
or, the wrong thinkings, like how it ejects into the minds. For example, in West, there is a talk about the equality, the female and male equality. Mm-hmm. And they said that the women do not have their right.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about male. The world is, male prominent. That's how they say.
Yes, they say.
It's a male prominent.
Yes.
Mm.
But they never look at, like, in the wars, there were the men who are killed. On the streets, it's the men who are the most victims. In the jobless or homeless people, it's more men. So, there are different ways
but
of...
the same voice that says such a thing, they are totally silent when women and when women and
children
and infants in Israel are being killed.
Yes.
Day by day, and no
in
one
Palestine,
is saying anything. So aren't they women? Don't they have the rights?
Unfortunately, this male orientation towards running the country, much male, not looking for the just attitude, as in Islam says, leading to such movement like feminism and extremist feminism, that brings us up, why the women should be pregnant, men can be pregnant too. See? They are talking.
This is not in his capacity.
This is not in his capacity. But I do want to say, we could see such slogans nowadays, brother.
Right, if they want male to become pregnant, do something that the male can.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is Islam when again invites us towards rationalism. And
we have
this
to.
Islamic intellectualism.
Getting
is
back to origin, what Sayyid said, getting back to the origin. And poor earth, how much capacity this earth has
to behold these things.
To behold all these phenomena, all these disasters from day one until now, And it's still working for us, man. It's still running, still rotating, still having energy, having rain for us, you know, everything. Resources, tabia is over there. How much poor earth is, brother, tolerating all these phenomena in today's world? And I think that one day we have to do our right of just and justice to ourselves, toward the earth we are living.
You know, you pointed,
we forget it.
You pointed a very good point. For example, you know, if chickens stop giving eggs,
yeah,
you know what's going to happen?
If the cows
if the protest, like the cock should obviously give the eggs and we should rest.
Yes,
you know, there is a nature. Yeah, there is a nature. Brother. You cannot change it. The world is doing its job.
Yeah,
the trees are giving fruits.
Yes.
The water is there. It's because of us humans that we have the shortage of water.
And how much
the environmental
justice,
change.
Yeah.
And we are doing injustice towards this nature as well.
Yes.
We are oppressing this nature because of our, you know, inventions and the things that we have. So
nature, animal, you know, if there was going to be a big rally and demonstration of justice, be sure that it would be first the tabia, the trees and the sheep and the animals.
Yeah.
And we have to answer that, brother, in the other world. Okay. That's all right. Nice discussion, nice fruitful discussion regarding what are the Islamic exact values of the Islamic system, how to revive them, and why the Western and hegemony powers are opposing and confronting this value system. I hope that all the Muslim lands get back to the pure Muhammadan Islam, practice the pure Islamic values, and we get back to our pure original nature and fitrah, innate nature, inshallah, one day. It was very kind of you, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Brother Ali Alavian. Nice, fruitful discussion. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Viewpoints, a discussion on the views and lectures of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. It was very kind of you, dear listeners. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. This series are produced by Brother Mahmoud. Please bring your comments and ideas. We can say on our email address, coi@irib.ir. Also, you can visit our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. Do not forget, too, to visit our website, parstoday.com/Ian. Call of Islam page. See another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanillah.
Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, has said, "Whenever I remember the martyrdom of the children of Fatima, peace be upon her, my eyes filled with tears."
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: عرفت الله سبحانه بفسخ العزائم وحل العقود ونقض الهمم.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "I came to know Allah the Glorified through the breaking of determinations, change of intentions,